Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week's an incredible week. We have Andrew Heath from Frozen Culture coming on and talking all things design, graphic design, his Frozen Culture series, and everything he's got going on. If you want to support Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review, subscribe wherever you get podcasts. We're on all platforms. If you want to follow us on socials, at Toys on Tap. And if you want even more, you can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/ToysOnTap. Every week we have new episodes, new content. That's where you'll see the video interviews. That's where you'll get the nitty gritty, extra 10 to 20 minutes with each artist. And that's where you get to jump in and hang out. And your support means the world to us. So let's jump into this week's episode of Toys on Tap. Yep, we're good.
All right. Yeah, so like Zoom for some reason doesn't like save any of my settings because I have like an external mic that I use and stuff. So it's
yeah,
every time I do it, really annoying. But hey, man, how's it going?
Good. Dude, I'm so pumped to have you on today.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad to be here.
I don't know if you have ever heard of Toys on Tap, but we usually deal with like toy artists. And then I went to Designer Con and picked up some Frozen. And it was like, oh, I have to have him on.
Yeah, it no, fits good. In that. Yeah, no, I was familiar with Toys on Tap. Of course, you followed me on Instagram. Like, I saw what you were doing, followed you back. But no, I've been seeing some people that I follow, like, repost, like, Connor with Abominable. I saw he had one, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I should probably do this then.
Yeah.
But hey, anytime I get to talk about Frozen Culture, I'm down to do that for sure.
Well, we're going to talk not even just Frozen Culture, but like your whole life with toys and design.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm pumped about it. But before we start anything, please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
My name is Andrew Heath. I'm a graphic designer and illustrator, and I guess now toy designer. I'm a game designer. I do a little bit of everything, but yeah, I mainly work in like pop culture. So anywhere where pop culture resides, I like to like get my hands on.
Heck yeah. What's interesting, and I mean, we're going to go through it all, is the Frozen Culture specific ones look like they were chosen. And it's like big points in pop culture history. And so it's like, they just flow so well. So I can't wait to talk through all those. Yeah. But we got to walk it back to the beginning of the artist. As a kid, I like to start with every artist. If you're a kid, what's the cartoons you're watching? What's the toys you're collecting and slamming together? All that kind of stuff.
Slamming together is a good way to put it. I played with my toys hard. I don't know about everybody else, but no. You know, like I was born in 89, so I grew up in the 90s, but it was funny because we did a lot of yard sales. And so I would get my hands on all these like 80s toys. So I like to say I'm an 80s kid that grew up in the 90s because, like, I mean, you know, we were doing like Thundercats, like the real Ghostbusters, Turtles, obviously, G.I. Joe, just like all that good 80s nostalgia. But I guess like my as far as like what I hit hard, probably Transformers. We did a lot of Transformers and G.I. Joe, you know, like I think with G.I. Joe, they're so versatile because they were like the ultimate fully posable figure.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty basic, but they could do everything. And that's really what we wanted in a figure. And now, you know, you see that all over the place. But like back then it was a lot more rare. So we would do G.I. Joes, but play Star Wars, you know, and like I remember one time when Speed came out, Keanu Reeves Speed, you know, what you do is you get hyped up about like a movie and like you find the G.I. Joe that like, oh, that kind of looks like that character. And then you play Speed with G.I. Joe's, so, you know, or Starship Troopers with G.I. Joe's.
Yeah.
But no, we did Star Wars too, but Star Wars kind of came a little later because for some reason, Star Wars was hard for us to get a hold of. We went a long time. And I say me and my brother's 2 years older than me, so like we were kind of all in the same stuff, but it took a long time to get some Star Wars toys. I remember we had a Y-Wing a Lando in his skiff guard disguise, and then a Luke in his X-Wing uniform, but his hand was cut off because we cut it off because, you know, Luke loses his hand.
Yeah, it's got to match.
Yeah, right? But no, we didn't get, like, really big into Star Wars toys until, what was it, The Power of the Force in 97 when they did those re-releases. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, they were, you remember, like, the big buff ones.
Yeah.
Looking back, there's really odd choices, but
yeah.
But no, we hit those hard, but I mean, you know, just like, it was a little bit of everything, like the standard 80s fare. We kind of were into all of it, but
yeah.
As far as cartoons, you could probably say the same thing. One that was probably, you know, mainly like Ghostbusters, Turtles, Transformers, like the usual stuff. So
yeah,
but we were also a lot into movies too. I was like into horror movies. We probably
as a kid.
Horror. Oh yeah, dude, I vividly, so like what I was just telling you, you get the figures that look like the characters in the movie that you're into. I vividly remember in preschool playing. You remember the movie Critters?
Uh huh.
Playing Critters with action figures. We had like this spaceship. I think it was a He-Man Masters of the Universe spaceship, but I had Kevin Costner as Robin Hood, because in Critters there are the bounty hunters, and like the one had like the long hair, like the model looking guy. I was like, that looks like him. But no, we grew up like watching a lot of horror movies, probably when we were way too young, but I mean, I turned out okay.
Yeah.
So it's all good. It's all good. I know what's real and what's not, but
yeah,
it's kind of like what we were into when we were kids. And funny story, I'm into all that now too. So
yeah, I did like, the only thing about the buff Star Wars figures, I did like them because that was the era. I'm a 90s kid as well. So that was the era of like buff X-Men characters and stuff where they had way too many muscles, way too many pockets. And so, like, your Luke figure kind of fit in line with these ugly other figures. Did.
But I think the odd thing was, you know, that was, like, comics. I mean, you look at, like, Rob Liefeld, like, in, like, all the buff pouches and, like, with Cable. And, like, you know, you look at the comic and you look at the toy and you're like, yeah, that tracks. But then you look at buff Luke Skywalker and then look at Mark Hamill in the movie. And it's like, what? I remember one time I was doing a Stormtrooper art print piece. And, you know, I did it like human anatomy, like the Stormtrooper would look like. And I sent it to my buddy who was also into all those toys and stuff. And I was like, hey, man, like, what do you think of this? And he goes, I think his body needs to be shaped different. I'm like, what do you mean? And like, he sent me the Stormtrooper figure. I'm like, dude, that's not how people look. That's not what people look like. That's not reality. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess I never thought about that. So that was really, really funny.
That's so funny. It is like, it like curbs our whole dynamic of how it's we like, look at people.
Yeah. It's like shaping our minds. It's like, man, why doesn't that guy look like buff Mark Hamill? And for some reason, I don't know if it was because of his, like his low cut shirt that he was wearing, but the Luke figure looks so much more buff than everybody. Cause you could like see his like pecs and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was so, so weird. And
the clothing choice was great. Cause the V-neck, it went down. It was like a deep V.
Yeah, yeah.
And that didn't exist in Star Wars. I don't remember that episode.
No, I don't either. I'll tell you though, I would love to see like a Star Wars like animated movie where they were all based off the Power of the Force designs.
Yeah. I always say that like as I grew up, I got the worst of Star Wars. And you're in the 90s too. We kind of get the worst of G.I. Joe. If you didn't have the retro ones, you get the G.I. Joe Extreme where they don't really move.
I remember
the
Extreme. Those were because they went with the like the 5 points articulation, you know, they kind of like, and like, you know, the 5-inch figures. Yeah, no, I agree. I remember the 3 3/4 figures went pretty far into the 90s and they got like really like colorful. And then, you know, you have your reprints and stuff. Same thing with Transformers. They did like Generation 2, which was like all the colors, which we did a lot of those. And like, those are really cool. But once you take like a toy and then try and like completely change its DNA, like the G.I. Joe Extreme, it's funny that you mentioned that. It doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
You know, especially, I mean, like if you have some new kid that has no idea, it's like, oh, that's awesome. But like for us, we're just like, no, we don't want it.
Yeah.
But you know, you could probably say the same from when they went from 12 inches to 3 3/4. People are like, what is this crap? I guess it's there for every generation.
Yeah. And what's crazy too, is like, all of the toys started functioning. Like, I loved Cowboys of Mumesa growing up, and they only turn at the center. And then Star Wars, like, they felt different, but they were kind of the same. Some of the legs didn't work, and they just turned. And then you have the turn and the legs working. Everyone had the same kind of articulation, but yeah, it was like, for some reason, I like some more than others. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'll tell you, I never, Cowboys of Mumesa is not one that I ever really got into. What year did that come out?
Probably like 93, 94.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we did like Street Sharks. That was a little later. You know, we were into Street Sharks, but for some, you know, there's some big ones, because I know Cowboys of Mumesa was big, but there's some big ones that we just completely missed. Like, I never
Gargoyles.
I did Gargoyles. Okay. I never did Silverhawks. That was one that was, and then like Mask. Those were some big ones in the 80s that we didn't hit on. But no, yeah, Gargoyles for sure. That was a big one. We when NECA started coming out with the Gargoyle figures.
Yep.
I collect a lot of NECA stuff now. I have a case with like all horror and like all kinds of stuff in there, Turtles. We went back and watched some of the, you know, since Disney Plus picked them up, some of the Gargoyle shows, and that stuff holds up, man. Like, the quality of cartoons then versus now is just like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, you feel like Steven Universe and Adventure Time came out now and everybody's like, well, let's do that, you know? Yeah. But like, there's also like such a darker tone in all that older stuff, you know. X-Men 97 is going on right now. I'm watching that and I'm like, oh my God. And you know, yeah, like, that's,
I mean, can we spoiler? Are you caught up?
I'm caught up, man.
Okay. Can we talk for a second?
Yeah. Spoiler alert for everybody that hasn't seen it, but
so first, like, I remember X-Men, like, growing up, you're getting ready for school, X-Men's on the TV or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember distinctly, even as a kid, it was so weird that Wolverine wouldn't punch people with his claws out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he would only, like, go after the Sentinels. So to see that they are like, no, we're going to see Wolverine, like, completely just impale Magnus.
I know. I watched that last, like, 2 or 3 minutes, my jaw was just on the floor. And I told my brother, who's, you know, we watch this stuff together. I'm like, you got to start watching. He hasn't started it yet. And I was like, the last couple episodes have been like Infinity War Endgame epic. Like, you got to watch it. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen. But I mean, yeah, it's been pretty intense. But I've started to go back and watch some of the original ones. And those are good too, man. Like, yeah, they're older animation, but
yeah,
like, the stories are good. And I just feel like it's touching on these subjects that, I guess, as a kid, you just kind of like, just like completely look over, you know, because you're like, Cyclops. But yeah. But no, they've done a really good job with X-Men 97. And, you know, I don't want everybody to just copy that, but I hope we get to see some more from Marvel. Like, you know, there's the Spider-Man show and like all kinds of stuff that they could do.
I mean,
Gargoyles bringing Gargoyles back would be cool. Yeah. You know, there's so much they could do.
Cause that show was so dark anyways. It was like, we're going to hunt these monsters and all kinds of stuff. But does that mean that Wolverine, he's only had his adamantium like pulled from him once or twice in the comics? And I don't know that he's going to survive.
So what happened? So I, you know, we grew up with the comics, but it wasn't like collecting comics. It was just like whatever we had, you know, we would just find one and open it up in the middle of a big story that's been going on. But so I did some research and it was like, man, what's going to happen? And so when Wolverine, like, that reference point, when he loses his adamantium, he goes feral and he like loses his nose. Mm-hmm. And like gets all crazy, but past that, I don't know what's gonna happen. So I'm wondering if they're gonna do that with the show, you know, because like he has like the bone claws and stuff still. But
yeah.
I mean, they said they're gonna do like 3-4 more seasons of it. So yeah,
I'm here for it.
I'm here for it too, man. And then just like people they've killed, and I think they're gonna do it some more.
Yeah,
because I don't know about you, like when they got their Uncanny X-Men costumes and I was like, that's dope. And then like Jean and Cyclops are saying goodbye and it like does an emphasis on them, like holding hands and like separating. I'm like, oh no, is something bad going to happen?
It's been
really good.
It's so sad. It's like so much of it is so sad, but I can't look away. The hard part, as we get older, we get rid of all the toys and stuff and we just all of a sudden our lives like shift? At what point do you start getting rid of those toys? Do you start getting rid of all that stuff to like kind of pivot into, I don't know, teenage years?
Yeah. So I get, I probably bought and played with toys and collected probably longer than I should have, you know, but I mean, hey, anybody who's an adult and say they don't get like an action figure out and just like play around it, they're lying. It's like, yeah, you play with toys. No, but I remember I got really big into music. So me and my buddies in high school, we would like jam and stuff and play music, and kind of around in there, it kind of like, you know, the toys were out on the shelves and they got put in the containers under the bed. But probably around in there. And then, to be honest, you know, that was high school, college. And what brought me back into all of it was, do you remember when Mattel Collector came out with those Ghostbusters figures?
I think so.
So they were like the first actual Ghostbusters action figures, yeah, that weren't like the real Ghostbusters, you know, 5-point articulation. They're like fully posable, like the Proton Packs came out. But it was like Mattie Collector was their answer to kind of like HasLab, where like, mm-hmm, you know, this is something specific, something, you know, special to order. You can't find it in stores. So I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. I don't know if you can see, I got a full Proton Pack right back here.
Heck yeah, you do.
And, you know, so those, I was like, oh man. So I started off with a Ray Stantz, Dan Aykroyd Ghostbusters figure. And then from there, it just kind of exploded. And like, I've been collecting ever since. I really kind of, my thing that I've been doing with toys is I've been buying and collecting the better versions of the things that I had when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So like, you got your better versions of the Turtles, you know, I got some of the NECA stuff. Like, I did a lot of the Movie Maniacs, Todd McFarlane horror, yeah, figures. So I got like all the NECA horror. I got all the Ghostbusters. I got some good solid Transformers and X-Men and Star Wars. So that's kind of like where I got back into it. But no, it was a sad day to, I think there was a lot of influence from friends too, to kind of put the drawer under the bed with the toys. Yeah. Cause like, you know, it's not cool, you know,
like,
which
girls are going to see it. It's like, okay.
I know. And to be honest, it wasn't even so much that, like, I don't think I cared about that. It was just like influence. Like, it's like, we're playing music now, so let's just, yeah, do that. And, you know, and I was into that too, but no, sad day. But you know, it was always one of those things where you, whether you're actively collecting or not, or playing with toys, you still got to go through the toy aisle.
Yeah.
Walmart.
I can't. I tried telling my wife that the other day, where, because she had, like, I recently, collecting took off. When I first started Toys on Tap in 2021, I was like, I'm not a collector, I just want to interview the artists. And then this happened.
Yeah.
She had asked, like, oh, like, did toys ever? I was like, no, the fascination with toys never stopped. Like, no, I would always walk down the toy aisle. I just had something in me that said, don't ever buy anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we did a lot of, do you remember Toy Fair magazine?
Yeah. Yeah.
We did a lot of Toy Fair. We had a comic shop in town. We loaded up on back issues. We just liked looking at them. Mm-hmm. You know, we loved like looking at toys, seeing what was new, seeing what was old, what we didn't have. Do you remember when you would buy toys? I don't know if they do this as much anymore. Like, you'd buy a toy, like say Transformer, and you'd open the box and it would come with this like paper sheet, and you unfold it and it has like everything else, yeah, you can buy. Yeah. Like, every toy had that. And when we would go to yard sales, we'd find those, and we had like a big box of them. Mm-hmm. So it was so funny, because we would like look through those as kids all the time, like being like, I want that one, or I want this one. And I remember specifically like Transformers, they had some of the old 86 cartoon movie figures, like, you know, like Blur and like Ultra Magnus and stuff. We're like, we want this one. And I remember being the dumb kids that we're like, maybe when we go to this toy store, we'll find that. But it's like, this was like 8 years ago, you know, like, yeah, these aren't on the shelves now. But no, we like just like looking at them. And I mean, same thing now. It's just, even if you, like, you're right, like, even if you're not buying anything, just like go see what's up and go see what's on the shelves, because, you know, you never know what you're going to find, you know?
Absolutely. I think the new X-Men 97 figures are really enticing, because they're like super poseable and super,
yeah,
fun.
They look good. They look, yeah, good. No, I've got the Wolverine. So when those got announced before the show came out, I was like, I got to get that Wolverine. It's really cool. So I picked up Wolverine, And then the show came out, and then I don't know if you've noticed this, but like they finally made Cyclops a badass.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I gotta get that Cyclops too. So like I've been trying to find the Cyclops, but like since the show's out, like it's been more difficult to find, but I'll find it eventually.
Yeah.
It'll get in my collection.
As I watch that show, they're giving people more personality, which is super nice. Like,
no, for sure.
Anyone that like Beast, he in the old show, he was just off in the lab and didn't ever do anything.
Yeah.
And now,
I mean, for
like,
the entire first season, because I went back and watched the entire first season, he was in jail. He was in jail the whole first season.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? I don't even remember that. But yeah, no, it's so cool because, you know, I think as kids, we watch it and we're like, Wolverine, you know, but now you're right. Like each character, like Rogue is really cool. Like I've really enjoyed Rogue and like Storm. Like I've really enjoyed like each of these characters because they've actually given them personality and given them stories and given them things to say and like things to act on, you know, like Rogue with Captain America when she was like, guess you won't be needing this. And through that shield, I was like, oh snap.
It's like between, and then what's interesting, because I mean Disney owns all of this now, to see Morph turn into Hulk is an insane thing.
Yeah. Just the other day, I think it was the last episode, I'll be watching and like a fight will happen and like there's the Juggernaut. I'm like, what? Where did he come from? And I was like, oh wait, Morph. You know, I gotta remind myself that, like, oh yeah, Morph can turn into anything. But no, Morph's been really cool too, and I really like how they use that face for him, because in the original cartoon they had that his human face, and it was like really like gaunt. He looks like a meth addict. I don't know why they went with that. So, and I really like what they've done with Morph. But no, yeah, it's been really good, and hopefully they can do some more stuff with that across like all their catalog.
So as you are playing music, getting rid of your toys, putting them away, all those things, at what point does art start to creep in? Because you, like, if you scroll through and look through Instagram and look through your history, art is huge for you. Production of toys doesn't happen until much later. And so when does that start?
So that kind of comes in with the music. So, you know, when we were playing music, we were really big into like, you know, the Stooges, MC5, a lot of that like proto punk stuff. And when we got into that, you know, when you're into something, you're like, well, I want to digest as much content as possible. So, you know, you go to Google Images, like, what are they wearing? Or you get the books and like look at all the photos and stuff. And that's kind of how I got into like gig posters. So I was really big into gig posters like in high school. And I've always done art my whole life. Like, you know, we would have like the comic books and you'd copy the comics, like the images from the comics or, you know, whatever, this, that, or the other. But like in high school, I was really into gig posters, and I would get these, like these matte paper, like sheets. So, you know, like when you get a poster frame, it has the matte frame inside. It's like a thick cardboard.
Yeah.
So I'd get a bunch of those, 'cause like my art studio at school, like had a bunch of those laying around, and I would cut them like how I wanted them. And I would paint gig posters with acrylic paints and, you know, just like concert posters for shows that didn't exist, or like, you know, my interpretation of like what I wanted. And I did a whole lot of those. And I remember in my senior year, you know, it was that point where it's like, well, what do I want to go forth and do? And like, I was doing these gig posters things. And my art teacher was like, oh, so you want to like get into graphic design? I'm like, what's that? You know, I had no idea, because like that wasn't taught at the school I was at. I had no idea. And then, you know, she told me, and it's like, yeah, it's like all done on computer. I'm like, you can do this on computer? So I looked into that and kind of went to college. Like I went to a community college for 2 years and like a big boy school after that for 3. And then at the community college, you know, I took Photoshop, Illustrator classes, and I was really learning how to do what I was doing with acrylic paints, but digitally. So I kind of got into that, and you know, that's really what I wanted to do, was be a gig poster artist. But that's kind of harder to get into, you know. But it was in 2012.
Yeah.
There was a comic convention. I live in Lexington, Kentucky. A comic convention was coming through town, And I was like, oh, cool. And I had another buddy who was a teacher of mine, and he had another buddy who sold like artwork at comic book convention. So I asked him about it. I was like, yeah, he does really well. And I was like, hey, I'm into all this stuff. You know, I'll do a batch of prints of, you know, video games, movies, television, like whatever I like. And, you know, that'll be fun to do. So I kind of just did that show. I made 20 prints based off a little bit of everything. And the rest is history. Like, it took off. I added like three more shows that year. And then the following year, I was able to quit my job. And then I've been doing it solo ever since. This is all I've been doing. Like, I travel and do comic conventions and art fairs and gaming conventions. So a little, like, you know, stuff like Designer Con, a little bit of everything. But I mainly like specialize in like the pop culture, because that's always what it's been. It's like, what, whether I was into music or whatever, I was always into movies, video games, television, and that's just kind of like where I'm passionate, you know.
Yeah.
I can take that passion and translate it to like artwork, you know,
which is, and I mean, to start it and then a year later we're like quitting jobs, we're doing,
I know,
crazy.
I know, it was wild. So to kind of back up and into context, so I worked at a greeting card company for 3 years while I was in college, and like we did like a lot of financial greeting cards. We had like U.S. Bank, Bank of America. So like we were doing like some big stuff, which was, it was fun. But I mean, yeah, the first show that I did, I was like, holy shit, you know, like it went really well. People really responded to what I was doing. And then, you know, at that time, there wasn't really anything in that arena that was like the style that I was doing. Like, you know, like I'm really into like retro graphics and like old stuff and minimalism, and you know, so I really, really stood out at the shows, and I think that kind of helped with it. Now you see stuff here and there and whatever, it's all good. But but yeah, to like come back after a year and be like, hey, like I think I can do this full time, you know. And heck, I do like 25, 30 shows a year. So, you know, I'm keeping it pretty busy, but it's fun too. You know, you've been to a comic convention or,
yeah,
you know, it's like, granted it is work, you know, but still like, it's fun to get to show up to the comic convention an hour before anybody else is there and get to walk around and look at toys.
Yeah.
And get to shop and stuff. Like that's what's a lot of fun.
I've heard that it's, I've had some people that have said that they've had booths and they've said that it's really hard work up until the convention, and then it turns into fun work.
You know, so my whole thing with it is I treat it like a job, and you know, I like to be professional. And so like I get in there, I set up really quick. I'm really fast. I'll set my whole thing up in like an hour. And then, you know, that's not like that hard of work, but like, I'll be honest with you, man, like it's fun. Don't get me wrong, but like being there all day and being on all day and like talking to people and, you know, that takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
You know, like I know some people that'll do the shows and sit there all day and then it's like, hey, it's over, let's go party. And I'm just like, no, I want to get some food and meat and then go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, like it's exhausting, but it's a lot of fun, man. Like it really means so much when like people come up and like respond to like what you do and like want to take a piece of that home. So that's really, really rewarding. And it's funny too, because one of my things, one of my mottos, and you know, I just watched this interview with Quentin Tarantino the other day, and he like literally said the same thing. And I feel the same way. It's like, I'm not making this for you, I'm making this for me.
Yeah.
It's just a great coincidence that like, and it works out for both of us that you like it and like you want to buy it. You know, he's like, I make these movies for me. Like, you know, I watch my movies all the time. And like, that's kind of how I feel. Like I make things that I want.
Yeah.
You know, and like that I would want to own. And if you like it, great. If not, whatever. I mean, you know, I do something that might just be random that people don't care about, and that's okay. You know, I got what I needed out of it, but sometimes you make something that's random and people are like all over it. I made a Smokey Bear art print.
Yeah.
Like the last couple years. And I was like, man, I love Smokey Bear. And I was like, I just want to do something. And I made it and people really love it. So it's like, hey, great. You know?
Yeah. It's great to hear that 25 shows, because that's like some months you're doing more than two.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which
oh,
is
it's not a smooth path at all. You yeah. know, there's like some months where it's like I have like four or five in a row, and that can be killer. Cause you know, like I have a wife and like I gotta travel and come home and stuff. But sometimes it's like I'll have one a month, or sometimes yeah. I just won't have any, you know, and it's not consistent at all. It changes all the time. And then you get those situations where it's like you have these two shows that you do really well at and you love them and they do great. And then one year they're just on top of each other. And it's like, yeah. well, I gotta choose. Like this year I was so bummed because my local comic show, it's the Lexington Comic and Toy Con. I've been doing it since 2012. It's the very first show I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's local, and I had to miss it this year for the first time because they moved their dates, and it was the same weekend as Planet Comic Con in Kansas City, which is one of my top five shows. And, you know, you mm-hmm. got to go where you're going to, you know, where the money's at. You know, you can't just like, well, I'll take a hit just to stay home and do the local thing. And it's like, it sucks, but like, that's just the way, like I said, I yeah. treat it like a business. That's how you got to do it. You know,
that's crazy. That is a bummer. I mean, and then we'll see you at Designer Con this coming year.
No, unfortunately, no? I won't be out at Designer Con. Yeah. Well, the move to Vegas kind of is the reason behind that. And like, I'm curious how it's going to go, because I think that's going to knock a lot of people out, but mm-hmm. you know, you're going to bring in some new people, which is good. You know, so Designer Con being in Anaheim really worked out because our distributor is in North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not difficult for them to get product and our setup to Anaheim. But to get it to Vegas is a whole nother story. Like logistically, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll keep an eye on it. We've got some things working up that may be able to make it work in the future, but
yeah,
we'll see. I you know, I do love Designer Con. But yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
The thing
it's such a cool show.
Yeah. And I, the move to Vegas, it's funny. My wife and I were talking about it, and she goes, yeah, because we all know that Vegas is known for toys and collectibles. And I was like, yeah, it's not. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's funny because I knew about the Vegas move like way, way, way far in advance, because I work with Ben Gretzky, who does 3D Retro and Designer yeah. Con. And or I did work with him. And, you know, I had like the insider info because like, oh, so 3D Retro is moving to Vegas. So I knew that before they even announced it. And I was like, huh? And I was like, I'll bet you at Designer Con this year, they're going to announce that they're going to Vegas. Like there's no reason for them to stay in Anaheim if their brick and mortar is not there, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, yeah, I bet they're going to move to Vegas. So we knew, and we were like, it's probably not going to work out, but no, I hope it still goes well for them. You know, like I said, I think they're going to get some new people in there and some new interests. Cause the thing is like, one big draw I know, because like I have a lot of friends who do that show. One big draw for Anaheim and them to go to Designer Con is Disney's right there,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that's a big draw. That's one reason why a lot of people go to it. It's like, well, I can do this and have a vacation at the same time. But at the same time, on the flip side, you got big kid Disney in Vegas, you know,
yeah.
with all of like that kind of stuff. So, but no, it'll be cool. I think they'll do well out there. I talked to Ben. It's been a minute, but I asked him how Vegas was going. He's like, it's going really well. You know, we're getting a good response. And so, you know, that's what you hope for him.
Yeah. At what point, I mean, you're killing it with your illustrations and your graphic design and all that stuff. And your style is so specific and it's so good and recognizable, which is awesome. And then at what point did you kind of turn your eyes towards like toy making or like, because I know that Ben was a part of that.
Mm-hmm. So that really just kind of like fell into my lap,
mm-hmm.
As do a lot of things. But it was funny because in 2014, or was it late 13, I got this commission to do like a cereal bowl, like a mascot with a cereal bowl. It was for a comic convention. They wanted their mascot like eating a cereal with like all the marshmallow cereal pieces of like, mm-hmm. the TARDIS, you know, a stormtrooper, a Ninja Turtle. So like marshmallow pop culture. So I was doing this commission piece And I was drawing the marshmallow pieces, and like they were kind of like fat. And I was like, I looked at them, I was like, hey, these kind of look like popsicles. I don't know why, like that kind of like, and you know, so I was like, what if I did like a print series of like these? So when I do anything, I really do my due diligence and go online, do some research, make sure nobody else is doing it. Cause you know, you don't, especially something like that, you don't want to like, oh, well, it's been done. Like, I'm not going to do that. So at that time, there was nothing out there. I looked everywhere. There was nothing. So if you see anything now, they chances are they've seen my art print series.
Yeah.
But I did this art print series. So like I first started at an art show, a local art show, and did like 4, and then it turned into like 50. I ended up doing like, I think 50 total. Mm-hmm. Some of them I got licensed through Gallery 1988. Like I got a Stay Puft marshmallow print, popsicle license, and Adventure Time. So it started off with this popsicle, pop culture popsicle art print series. They went viral at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Through like all these design websites, so that was kind of cool. But it was in 2014. I did 50 of them. I was done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. So flash forward to 2019. I had Scott Kinsley of Disperse Distribution get in touch with me, and we were talking. He's like, hey, like, you know, I was pitching some ideas to someone, you know, who's wanting to produce some toys. And I mentioned your popsicles and he really liked them and like wants to do something with them. I'm like, okay, cool. So we kind of got to talking and, you know, there's some like Back to the Future was in the mix and like, you know, monsters because those are public domain and we're kind of talking, but talks kind of like, you know, I got busy, everybody got busy. Mm-hmm. And then 2020 hit. So everybody got unbusy. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, but so and then 2020 happened and then 2021 came around. They got back in touch with me. They're like, hey, they want to do this. And I was like, sure. So like if someone comes to you and asks if you want to, you know, make a toy line, you say yes. Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we got into it. Then I found out it was Ben from 3D Retro and Designer Con. And we went forward with he had the Back to the Future license at that time. And we did a Back to the Future series, did a soft launch for him at Designer Con. People were really into him. And then the following year, we did a collaboration with Ron English, which mm-hmm. was a pretty big deal. Did that series. So it really just kind of fell into my lap. It's nothing that I sought out. But again, I mean, I'm a big toy collector. You know, I'm in this world anyways. So it was like really appealing to me. And, you know, at that time, like, hell, like you see what's going on with Funko Pops and, you know, it's the world of vinyl toys was becoming more available to people through like whether you like Funko Pops or not, like it's really made it available to people who wouldn't know anything about that world, you know, because now if people look at it and they're like, oh, it's like a Funko Pop. You know, that might not be a connection that you like, but the connection's there. And it helps people understand what you're doing or what you're going for. But yeah, so we did the Ron English series. And then, you know, Ben was getting busy with this move to Vegas. And, you know, we had some other stuff that we were wanting to do. So we kind of like separated. And then we kind of took Frozen Culture by the horns and started, you know, doing our own things. We did the classic monster series that, you know, we kind of planned on doing originally. So we did the monsters and then I went out and like, it was really cool because I got the license for Care Bears and Mad Balls. Which is
insane.
I know. Insane. I know. That was such a funny story because, you know, we were looking for things to do and I was like, man, Care Bears and Mad Balls would be really cool. And like, you know, it's a one mold thing too. So it'd be pretty easy to do. And when it was time for us to look for new licenses, I went online and I was like, all right, some of these places are kind of hard to get in touch with. You know, you go to Disney's and it's like, well, you got to sign up here and you got to submit your financials. And it's like, it's such a process. But some websites have like a contact form or an email. So I kind of found some of those. And I emailed 5, and I'm not kidding, like within like 15 minutes, Cloudco, the company that owns Care Bears and Mad Balls, got back with us. And they're like, hey, like, these are awesome. Like, let's set up a meeting. So that's kind of like where that's been. Those should be coming out here. The factory's finishing up. We interrupt.
this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have an engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
Those right now, so those should be coming out here soon.
Yeah, and the tests are right behind you, it looks like.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They're right behind me.
They're great.
Yeah, no, they turned out so cool. I'm really excited for everybody to see those. But no, in the, like, you know, we've had six lines out, also with Connor and Abominable Toys.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny because I listened to the episode with you guys and he kind of touched on it a little bit. So that first year at DesignerCon when we had our Back to the Future series, he comes up. He was like one of the first people to come up, and you know, Connor's such a sweet guy, and I had no idea who he was. I was familiar with Chomp, you know, and like I don't think I was familiar with like a Abominable Toys as a thing, but I mean everybody had seen Chomp by that point. Mm-hmm. But he came up and he's like, "This is awesome," you know. He's like, "I'd love to work with you," and you know, if you do what I do, even with the art prints, there's so many missed opportunities and missed connections. Cause like someone will come up to you and be like, "Hey, like, let's do this." And then you never hear from them again. I can't tell you how many times I've had the opportunity to work on like licensed Star Wars stuff. And then it just like completely fall through. So Connor comes up and says that. I'm like, "Yeah, cool." Emailed me the Monday after DesignerCon.
Smart man.
I know. And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." And like, I've been working with him for a while. And like, we put that, you know, that base series together, and we have so much more Chomp stuff coming out with Frozen Culture. But you know, that really meant a lot that someone who has really established themselves in that community reached out and like wanted to work with us, you know, just after the first thing that we had put out. Which it was interesting because the Back to the Future stuff, you know, if someone says, "Hey, let's do licensed Back to the Future stuff," you say yes, obviously. But it was such a weird thing because it was, you know, I'm proud of the work that we did on the Back to the Future line, but it wasn't representative of what we were wanting to do with the line, because you know, the point of the line was like the popsicle heads that you would get at the ice cream truck, you know, when you're a kid, like they've like got the SpongeBob, the Spider-Man, the Turtles. But the Back to the Future stuff was more like the car, the license plate.
Yeah,
you know, so for him to be like see Chomp in that format without like, you know, getting the full picture was like meant a lot. And you know, I still work with him and on a lot of stuff, and you know, he's great. Really enjoy working with Abominable. But you know, like, yeah, we're making things happen. Like I said, we got like six lines. We got more stuff down the pipeline. And yeah, it's kind of wild to just think that it's sick. That it's turned into this thing. And it's like, it just kind of fell in my lap, you know?
Yeah, I do. I do have all of the chops. Yeah. And if I remember right, is this the one he said in the episode that you gotten to design one? Is this the one?
Yeah, so that one, I did that one. It was called Jolly Green Chomp. And then I did the Mean Muggin Chomp. Cause I, you know, when I was thinking of ideas for those, I was looking for inspiration. Cause you know, you just Google image like Abominable Toys Chomp and see what all is going on. And I think they had the coffee one, and the coffee chomp, and his face just looked like he just woke up in the morning and he looked kind of angry. And I was like, "I'm going to make an angry one," and we'll call it Mean Muggin. And then they did another one. I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was a custom or a collaboration, but it was like a cactus chomp and he was green. And I was like, "Huh, they don't really have a green chomp." So I was like, "I'll make a green chomp," you know, but we have a lot more coming out that are really cool. And I'm really excited for people to see those.
Nice.
We have one more like full series coming out and then a bunch of exclusives. Yeah. And then the full series that we have coming out, like it's just like what you have, like, you know, six different figures and some chases.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but it was funny. We did the base series, which is great. And then I made this second series and I showed Connor and we were both like, "Man, these look really good." And I think me and him both agreed like, "Man, I think we like these better than the original ones." They look really, really cool. So I'm really excited for people to see those.
Yeah, we so rarely, I mean, I'll go and I'll spend money at booths and stuff, but rarely will I walk up and say like, oh, just give me all of it. And mm-hmm. Connor was the first booth that when I saw these, I came up and I was like, I need a box, and then I need a canvas bag that goes with it, and I need the postcards, and
it's that's just awesome,
such
man.
A cool design.
Thank you.
And I think I'm why I'm like almost in love with your design is like every figure, though they're different, they have the same like
feel. Yeah.
And I love that.
No, we wanted the way we wanted to do it was that they were all like, they had their thing, like the mm-hmm. bites, you know, and they're all like within a certain size. Like, I want it to where people want to collect them, where it's like, oh, well, I'll get a couple from here, a couple from there. Or if they want to, like, I want to get them all, you know, like, I want to make them where they look all nice together. And then you mentioned as far as the box, my mission with this was to make it easily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, like with the monsters, if you bought a box of monsters, there's 9 figures in a box.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get all 8 figures. So you're going to get a full set. And like, we wanted a price point where that was, you know, you could do that. So I think it's like $108 for a box.
Which is so cheap.
Which is, you know, which is nothing, you know. So if you buy a box of monsters, you're going to get all 8 figures. Plus, you're going to get one of the 4 chases. So you're mm-hmm. going to get something rare in there too. So I felt like I wanted to make it affordable for people to look at one and buy one and, you know, see that the value in that, but also for people who want the whole set to be able to get them. Cause you know, I think a lot of people see the mystery thing and some people are super into it, but some people are like, oh, well, I just want the one that I want, mm-hmm. you know? And that makes it a little difficult. And I worked really hard to make each of the figures cool to where like you would be okay with any of them, but sometimes that's just harder to do and it's not going to be the case. But if you wanted a box, you know, $100 for 9 figures isn't entirely terrible, you know.
Yeah, which but, no, it's not bad at all. I remember like him saying the price and I was like, yeah, great, I'm tempted to get a second box. What's interesting about this story of you starting in toys is when you start with Ben, it almost feels like this is his project. Like mm-hmm. he's like, oh, I want to produce toys. And then he uses the popsicle style and he works with you and does it. But then it's like, it quickly goes to you producing over, which is amazing that you get to like produce all these different licenses and stuff. How did it feel in the beginning when you were starting to produce? Did it still feel like yours? Had you taken ownership of it?
No, it was always mine, but I was, you know, working with them. Cause like, you know, he was financing it, you know, he was our factory contact. And then,
yeah.
So it was just working with them in a sense like that. So like, to be honest, I was pretty open. Like they were like, hey, do what you want. And, you know, I don't think I ever had like, oh, we don't like this, do it different. It was all like, even when like getting approvals for, you know, Back to the Future and stuff, that was super chill. Same thing with Ron English. It never felt like it wasn't mine, you know.
Okay.
There was a lot of freedom there in what I could do. And there was a lot of collaboration too. Like, well, you know, what if you did this or that? But even then it wasn't restrictive at all. When I tell people that I've done this thing, even with the Care Bears and the Mad Balls, I think working with pop culture in general and being into this stuff so much, I know what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know how it's supposed to look. I know what it should look like. So like people ask like, well, what was it like getting things approved with like Back to the Future or Ron English? And I was like, oh, they had no changes. Like mm-hmm. I sent it in, approved. Same thing with like the Ron English. It's like, what was it like working with? It's like, oh no, he liked it. It was fine.
Yeah.
No changes. And you know, Connor, that's easy. Cause like, that's his character. But like, even with the Care Bears and stuff, you know, I submitted all my things for approvals and they're like, yeah, these are great. You know, they had one change where it's like, they have like these marks on their cheeks. And like, I think on one of them, I forgot to flip it. And they're like, yeah, just flip that the right way. And I'm like, okay, cool. So like, everything's been like really chill. And like working with Ben and, you know, them for those two projects was really easy. You know, The difference is now, like, we're the financial side of it. So there's some stress, you know, in that we're like, whoa, we kind of, before it was like, let's just do whatever we want. And, yeah. and then now it's just like, whoa, we should probably watch what we do mold wise, you know? Cause like any time that we can take a design and do like a single mold and do multiple designs on mm-hmm. that, the better, because, you know, the mold costs can get up there. That's one of your bigger costs. So, like, I think with the Back to the Future, we did, I think it was 3 molds across 7 designs. Now, with the Ron English, it was different because we did 6 molds, 6 designs. Because, you know, it gets to a point where you're just going to have to do the molds. Mm-hmm. Chomp was 1 mold, obviously. And then Care Bears and Mad Mold Balls were 1 mold. But with the monsters, it was fun because we have 3 series of monsters planned. And I did 5 molds, and I think I did something like 50 different monster designs.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And they look all really awesome. So I hope we get to keep doing those, but no, like stuff like that, like, you know, and I think they appreciated that too. You know, when I went to them and it was like, hey, like I got 3 series, 50 designs, 5 molds, you know, like they're like, oh, awesome. You know, cause yeah. anytime you can do that, the better. Cause that's, you know, when you see like toy companies put out, especially like McFarlane Toys been doing this a lot, like put out the same figure over and over again with, you know, variants and stuff, like that's where that comes from, just like saving like the mold costs, because
yeah,
you know, you pay for it, so why not try and add some variations of it. But with the monsters, they're all like very different, so that was a lot of fun to design all those.
Yeah, that, which like the monsters, such a good hit. Especially because you liked horror growing up.
And yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Such a good fit. And what's funny is when you look at the monster ones that you've designed, though, like as a kid, those terrified me. But now they're so approachable because they're ice cream form, and it's like good fit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I wanted to make them like really nice, like bright and colorful. I think that was one of, you know, that's appealing to people. But I'll tell you, the biggest thing, because, you know, you say like I was into the monsters and you know, like I was in the Back to the Future, like I'm into all this stuff, and like all that was like really fun to get to work on and like, you know, do my take on that stuff. But the biggest, most rewarding thing out of mm-hmm. all of this, so when the distributor that we're working with, like, you know, they've gotten us into like FYA, Hot Topic and stuff, mm-hmm. and I think the Care Bears and Mad Balls are going to kind of be in even more stores than that, like bigger stuff. But to go to a store and see my name on a toy
is unreal.
Toys have been my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, and to just see that, it's just like, it just wants to bring a tear to your eye. Like, it's like so cool. And like, man, like that's it, you know, like I've made it, you know? So that's like really, really rewarding. And you know, that wasn't, our distributor that we work with, you know, they've been heavily involved in like, with the whole process. They've been like pretty much a part of the team. And that was his idea he's like, put your name on it. Just call it Kander Heath Frozen Culture. I'm like, all right. You know? Yeah. So that was really, really cool.
Yeah. It's so crazy. And I can't imagine what that feels like to do that with all of this, like being talked about and all like the new license coming up with Care Bears and Mad Balls and more chomps and more all everything. What's next for you this year? What are the things that you're like, this is important, this is what's coming?
So nothing that I can talk about right now.
That's a good way to say that.
I know. Yeah. We've got some cool things coming. Stuff that I'm really excited about. Nothing set in stone, but, yeah, nothing I can really talk about. You know, obviously we're going to keep chugging along, you know, keep doing licenses and stuff. We've talked about other formats, but you know, like, to be honest, like we're still in our early stages, you know, like we've just, cause like the Back to the Future and the Ron English were kind of like soft launches, you know. Mm-hmm. Back to the Future, we did such a low run of, and those are gone now. Those are all gone. You could probably find someone like on eBay or something, but we did such a low run on those. And then with the Ron English, it was such a, you know, Ron is really big in his crowd, but like mm-hmm. a lot of people don't know what Ron English is other than like the design's just looking cool. So we think that, the Care Bears and the Mad Balls are going to kind of like get us in the forefront. Like once those hit, you know, people be like, oh, like those are cool. We know what this is. So we're still kind of trying to like take our claim to like, you know, not to the level of like Funko, but like we really want to like get people out there and familiar with our product. So I think, like I said, the Mad Balls and Care Bears will probably do that. But like we've got stuff planned for the fall and, you know, but nothing I can really talk about.
Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. My hope is, and if there's a bug that can be put in your ear, maybe Furbies coming in, maybe Furbies? Teletubbies.
Okay. Teletubbies, Furbies. Okay. Okay. I'll tell you that's the one thing. Like I'm like down to do whatever. You know, I think this format's like this platform's such a neat platform that like anything can just be plugged into it. And, you know, I love all of it. And I think, yeah, just like whatever. Why not? You know,
yeah.
Like, why not do whatever we can? But we've got our eyes on some licenses and then, you know, we're going to keep working with Abominable on some of those stuff. So we'll kind of see where we go from there.
Yeah. I only said Teletubbies because they, you know, they just got Polyphony at, I saw them at DesignerCon. I don't know what they do or where they're from, but they just licensed Teletubbies.
Okay.
And they started doing it in like massive vinyl things and then like blind bags, and they flocked some of them.
Okay.
And it's such a weird vibe. Like, I don't know how I feel about it, seeing Teletubbies out.
I didn't know that Teletubbies were making a comeback. Like, I knew the Furby thing was coming. I see your Furby. What are those? The Furby monsters?
Oh, I'm glad. It's my own design. It's called a Furbzerker. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Like, I love like the ones that are like shoved into them.
Yeah.
That's dope, dude. Good job.
Thank you.
That's really cool. Yeah, no, I saw that Furbies have been making a comeback and like they've released some of them, but like Furbies could be cool. But it's so funny. Like Teletubbies was like one of those things, like it sounds like you and I are around the same age. So like when that came out, we were just like, oh, what is this? You know?
Yeah.
But like
yeah.
If you look back at it, like take those designs and like whatever like Pop Mart's doing or like some of those Japanese toy companies, like those like fit in with all that, you know, they like look like the same type of stuff, you know, but that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know if we'll be doing Furbies or Teletubbies, but seriously, if the opportunity came, it's like, hey, why not? Right.
You know, yeah.
Just do whatever's cool.
Dude, but that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.